What a beautiful and wonderful and powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. And the men of this church have told me over the last several years how it's interesting that the mothers receive lots of encouragement on Mother's Day, but on Father's Day, the dads get a good roasting. And it's tough having a pastor who's also a dad. You know, maybe it's not as bad as some of these dads are making it out to be, but I do know there is something to that. We do tend to honor the role of a mother, but examine the quality of a father on Father's Day. We think about the fifth commandment, right? Honor your father and your mother. Both, right? Honor mothers and fathers. We want to do that today. We should honor the role of father. We're going to do that. I hope to do that and encourage you dads today. On another note, there's some statistics that kind of reveal who gets more attention on their special day. Warning dads, this is going to be a little bit painful for us. Percentage of people who celebrate Mother's Day, 84%. Compared to 76% who celebrate Father's Day. Spending on dads, it's reached record levels. This is pretty good. $196 per dad. Sounds a little high, at least in my house, and probably yours too. No offense, family. $22.9 billion spent on dads, estimated this year. Spending on moms, significantly greater, $274 a pop, $35.7 billion. Add to this that 81% of moms get a card for Mother's Day, 64% of dads get one. Clear winner? Moms, mothers. And deservingly so. Dads, don't despair. We did come out ahead. One category. 43% of us will get clothes compared to 33% of moms. So enjoy that new pair of socks that you get later today. All joking aside, we do want to honor fathers. We want to acknowledge what you mean, how important you are to your home, how important you are to your families. We want to say thank you. I hope you see that in the outline today. Thanks, 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 five times. We do want to honor and thank you today. Timeless principle of our study today, the text in 1 Thessalonians 2 is the influence of a father is profound. It truly is. The influence of a father is profound. And in Thessalonians 2, you might remember from Mother's Day, Paul uses familial language in this chapter, in this passage. In verse 7, he says, "We were gentle among you like a nursing mother taking care of her own children." That was the focus on Mother's Day. Come up to verse 9 here, and Paul says, "Like a father with his children, we exhorted each of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord." That's the focus of today's message on Father's Day. If you're able to this morning, would you please stand with me out of reverence for God, reverence for His Word, as I read, and please read along with me by sight there in the text, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verses 9 through 11. Paul writes, "For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into His own kingdom and glory." May God bless the reading of His Word and the preaching of His Word. You may be seated. Thank you. Title of the Mother's Day sermon was, do you remember it? A mom is a mom, a mom is a mom. Title of the Father's Day sermon, a dad is a dad, right? Sounds so obvious to us, but there truly is a cultural war being waged against the family, a cultural war being waged against motherhood and against fatherhood today. I shared this back on Mother's Day. I'm going to share it again because there's a connection here. Kevin DeYoung explained how Paul's ministry reflected both motherhood and fatherhood. Now here's what he said. He said, "Mothering implies gentleness, affection, and sacrifice. Fathering, on the other hand, implies exhortation, encouragement, and a spiritual charge. This is not to suggest that one set of virtues are exclusively feminine and the other exclusively masculine. Men can be tender, women can exhort, but there's a method behind the metaphors. The picture of divinely aided gentleness is a mother. The picture of divinely guided exhortation is a father. A mom is a mom and not a dad. A dad is a dad and not a mom. And that's where our two titles came from on Mother's Day and on Father's Day. A good word from Kevin DeYoung there. I want to give you just a little bit of a reminder here on some background in the text for today. Paul uses plural pronouns throughout the passage. He's including his colleagues, his missionary colleagues, along with him as he writes, Timothy and Silas. He's writing from Corinth. It's somewhere around the middle of the first century. He's on his second missionary journey. He's been away from the believers at Thessalonica for some time, and he's addressing something, some false accusations that have been set against him and against his team. And he's clarifying earlier in this chapter that he and his colleagues didn't come to the Thessalonians with greedy motives. They didn't come to them seeking personal glory. So he's defending himself in this passage. As part of that defense, he uses a paternal metaphor. A father with his children. And Paul was a father, right? Paul was a spiritual father. He was a spiritual father of believers at the different churches. He guided them to faith, then he nurtured them, cared for them in the faith. He considers himself a spiritual father to the Thessalonians here in our text. So we're going to discover a concise description today, a divine blueprint of a godly father. We want to honor dads. I want to encourage you, want to say thanks. It's going to be a little challenging too, right? It just is. It is for me too, as I've studied this week. And hopefully we leave here recommitting ourselves, leaning into God for His grace, and just being godly fathers in our homes and in our community. So we want to honor you by saying thank you. First of all, our first point this morning, thanks for contributing. Thanks for contributing. Some of what I'm going to share is going to sound familiar because there's an overlap of the maternal metaphor and the paternal metaphor. They kind of cross over each other here in chapter 2, and there's some verses between the two, the mothering metaphor and the fathering metaphor, that kind of really apply to both moms and dads. The last time on Mother's Day I said no one works harder than a mom. I challenge you on that. It's true. No one works harder than a mom, but dads work hard too, don't we? We work hard to provide for the family as God's called us to do. Paul and his colleagues here in the context, they refused financial contributions from the Thessalonians because they didn't want to be a burden to them. More than that, they didn't want anything to be a stumbling block to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They didn't want money to come into the equation at all. So they refused any contributions, any financial support from the church here. Look with me at verse 9 of our text. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. Those two words there, labor and toil. Labor indicates weariness from strenuous activity. Toil carries this idea, overcoming difficulties. So we know from the New Testament, from the book of Acts, Paul was a maker of tents in order to support himself in the gospel ministry while he preached, while he planted churches. He supported himself, earned a living by making tents. It was difficult for Paul to find time to do everything that he had to do. It might sound familiar to you this morning as a dad, right? He had to work day and night, night and day to provide for himself and to care for the church. In 2 Corinthians 12:14 on the screen, he makes similar remarks about his ministry to the Corinthians. He writes, "Here for the third time, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden, for I seek not what is yours, but you." Isn't that a special statement there? I don't want anything from you. I want you. I care about you. "For children are not obligated to save up for their parents, but parents for their children." Now, we think we understand Paul isn't saying adult children shouldn't care for their aging parents. That's part of honoring your father and your mother. That's not what he's saying. He's pointing to a truth. He's pointing to a universal truth. Parents instinctively sacrifice for their children. Dads, we love our children, don't we? Granddads, we love our grandchildren. Great-granddads, we love our great-grandchildren. We would do anything for them. Anything in the world, we would do for them. One way we show this is through long, hard hours of work, right? Day and night, night and day, providing for the family. It's biblical. It's biblical. Scripture says, if anyone doesn't provide for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. But we don't do it out of obligation, do we? We don't work long, hard hours out of obligation. We do it out of a heart for love for our families, for our children. It's a joy, right? It's a joy to give. It's a joy to provide for our children. I want to encourage you with another thought along the same lines, though. You want to give your children the best life possible. We all want to do that. But don't give your children everything their heart desires, right? Teach them how to labor and toil themselves. Teach them how to contribute. Teach them what it looks like to work hard and to provide. In 1968, Richard Scarry wrote a children's book called The Bunny Book. That it explores a question, this question. What do you want to be when you grow up? The book kind of walks the reader, the child, through various career options. Policeman, lifeguard, doctor, farmer, before landing on the boy bunny's most important vocation, which is a daddy rabbit. Don't read many books like that anymore today. Of course, the bunny boy is going to be more than a daddy rabbit. We know that. He'll have a career. We have careers, gentlemen. But first and foremost, who is our calling to? Our calling is not to the workplace. Our calling is to our family, to our wives, and to our children. Leads us to our second word of gratitude. Thanks for contributing. Dads, thanks for confirming. What I mean by confirming is a life lived that validates the gospel, that confirms the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to be good examples to our children. Paul's greatest desire is that the Thessalonians might come to faith in Christ, and having come to faith in Christ, they might grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. That should be our greatest desire as dads for our children. Romans 10, I'm going to kind of read through, just kind of summarize the passage here. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? How are they to preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ, right? We apply that passage to evangelism, right? To missions. But what greater mission is there for a dad than to evangelize the home, than to share Jesus with the family? Dads, we've been sent to our families. Dads, we have beautiful feet. Not literally, right? Keep those dogs in the shoes. We don't want to see those. Metaphorically, we have beautiful feet, right? We've been sent to our families. Faith comes from hearing. Share the good news of the gospel with your children. Share it over and over and over again. Our children need to know that they are sinners separated from a holy God. They need to know that they need salvation. And salvation is found in a person, the one we just sang about with a beautiful and wonderful and powerful name. Salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to hear this from us, dads. Jesus, who lived a perfect life, then suffered and died and rose again for them so they might know God. They might come into relationship with Him. Words are important. We need to share the good news. So are actions, right? We got to live out the gospel. We got to be examples. Ralph Waldo Emerson once wrote this, "Your actions speak so loudly, I cannot hear what you are saying." I think we know what he's talking about there. In defense of his ministry, Paul appeals to his integrity. Look at verse 10 in our text. "You are witnesses, Thessalonians, you are witnesses, and God also, how holy, and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. That's quite a claim. Hey, Thessalonians, you're witnesses. You know about the conduct of our character. More than that, God is a witness. He knows about the character of our conduct among you. And Paul stacks Greek adverbs. They don't appear as adverbs in the English, but they are adverbs. First one, holy, means to be set apart. Emphasizes the quality of a life that is totally set apart, totally devoted to God. Next, the word righteous, the idea of integrity, doing the right thing all the time, in every circumstance, even when no one is looking. And listen, they are watching. Our children are watching. We'll get to that in just a moment. The third adverb, blameless, means not able to find fault in. Right? A life that's above reproach is the idea behind that word. Our children are watching very, very closely. Heard about a Boston area boy who called 911 after his dad ran a red light. Now, this is not a personal confession from me about a Boston boy. It's a true story. It actually happened. Okay? Listen to this conversation. 6-year-old Robbie and the police dispatcher. 911, what's your emergency? Daddy just went past a red light, Robbie explained. He has a black truck. We had to go to the car wash and then he went past the red light. Dispatcher asked to speak with Robbie's father, Mike, who calmly said, "Oh no." "I apologize." Dispatcher says, "No problem, as long as everything's all set." His dad replies, "Yep, nope, we're good." You can actually listen to the call. Those are his words. "Yep, nope, we're good, thank you." As it turns out, very interesting, he didn't even break the law. He turned right on red and his son turned him in. It's tough. Blameless means we're able to pass the scrutiny of critics. Some of our greatest critics, our children, right? Those who know what we're really like, those who see us behind closed doors, those who see us go through red lights in life, they know all about the witness of our daily lives. Paul says, "You know the character of our conduct. We lived holy and righteous and blameless lives before you, dads." I asked moms this several weeks ago. Dads, can we say the same thing? Are we living holy, righteous, and blameless lives before our children? Granddads, are you living holy, righteous, and blameless lives before your grandchildren? Thanks for contributing. Thanks for confirming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Third, we want to say thanks for connecting. And here comes that paternal metaphor that I've been talking about. Look at verse 11. "For you know, like a father with his children..." You know how, excuse me, "like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you." Let's go ahead and stop there on that first phrase. "We exhorted each one of you." See that personal language? Each one of you. Paul worked hard. Nobody worked harder than Paul, laboring and toiling in the ministry, supporting himself. But he still took time. He still found time, made time for individual people. Dads, each of your kids is unique, very unique. I think of my own children. They're all so different. And Tyler and Kate and Claire and Ben and Elijah. Different personalities, different gifts, different skills, different passions in life. Psalm 139, "Fearfully and wonderfully made by God, your children are the same." We need to get to know them. We need to get to know them personally, best we can. We need to get to know them individually. We need to be available, dads. We need to be approachable. The word exhorted, interestingly enough, literally means to call near. To call near. You hear that personal closeness involved in that word exhorted. Carries the idea of strengthening. Kind of picture a coach pulling a player aside and putting his or her arm around that player and saying, "Hey, I know you can do this. I believe in you." That's the idea behind this word, exhorted. Someone once said, "The best gift a father can give to his child is the gift of himself." The writer continued, "Material things mean little if there isn't someone to share them with." Right? The importance of being present. Third grade teacher received two letters from her students as part of an assignment. This is kind of heartbreaking. One letter read this way. Dear Dad, I love it when you take me on dates. I like it when you play baseball with me, miniature golf with me, and watch movies with me. I really appreciate it. I like it when you tell jokes. Dad jokes are the best, aren't they? Use some control here this morning and not deliver any of those. Girl says, I like it when you tell jokes. I like it when you hug and kiss me, Daddy, I love you. Another girl seated just a few seats away wrote a letter as well as part of the assignment. Listen to what she wrote. Dear Daddy, I love you so much. When are you going to come see me again? I miss you very much. I love it when you take me to the pool. When am I going to get to spend the night at your house? I want to see what your house looks like. When am I going to see you again? I love you, Daddy. Real letters written by two little girls in the same class. One letter from a child whose father knows what it means to be there. The other one written from a father for whatever reason was not in the equation. Dad, we got to be present. We got to be present in the home. I know work keeps us away. It keeps us busy, those long, hard hours. Sometimes we choose to be away, don't we? Sometimes we choose to pursue our own desires, our own self-interest. I don't mean it's wrong for you to go out and do something you enjoy to catch a break every now and again, but let's be present in our homes. It's also possible to be present physically, to be there, but not to be there emotionally, especially not to be there spiritually. Present in the home. Let's make family a priority. Let's get involved in our children's lives and activities, right? Sitting right there up front, cheering him or her on all the way. Think about Deuteronomy 6, our daily routines. Dads, let's make disciples of our children. On the screen, Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7. Dads, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart, right? That's part of that confirming the gospel, part of being that example in the home. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. Dads, let's look for more and more and more time to spend with our children. And as we do, let's take every opportunity to show them the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our high calling as fathers. Thanks for connecting individually with your kids. Fourth, we say, thanks for comforting. The next word that Paul uses here carries a very similar idea to the word exhortation, but it really emphasizes the soothing side of exhortation. The NIV, if you're reading from that text today, the King James as well, renders it comforting. Comforting. Look at verse 11 with me again in the first part of 12. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you. Right? There's our word for comforting. We encouraged you. We're going to put this on the screen for you. The same verb appears in 1 Thessalonians 5, later in the letter, verse 14 of chapter 5. Paul writes this, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted. There's our word. Encourage. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak, be patient with them all. The Gospel of John, the same verb is used as the people gathered there, consoled Martha and consoled Mary after the death of their brother Lazarus. So you put those together, encouraging the faint-hearted, consoling the bereaved, and now you capture the nuance of that word, the idea of comforting that lies behind it. Our children need to be encouraged, dads, when they're doing well. Sometimes they need to be comforted, right? When they're struggling, when they're discouraged in life. Little ones need a lap to climb on. The older ones need a shoulder to cry on. Any of you grow up hearing this from your dad? Walk it off. Oh, I heard it all the time. It's okay, Dad, if he's listening. It's okay. Rub some dirt in it, right? I use those myself. usually not with the girls, with the boys. There's a time to teach fortitude and resilience, right? There's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing to teach fortitude and resilience. There's a time to give comfort to. There's a time to give comfort to our child when he or she is struggling. Several ways we can do this, we can give this comfort. First, by listening. Right, dads, we need to listen. A lot of times we want to jump in and fix it. Our children are going to fail, we fail all the time. Our children are going to struggle, we struggle. Our children are going to be discouraged. We can't always fix everything, but we can listen, right? We can take some time to be there, show we care. We can take time to listen to them. Ask them what's going on. Don't crush their spirit or tell them to hold back their emotion, but really listen to them. Let them share their feelings. I like the wisdom of Proverbs 20 and verse 5. You can follow along on the screen. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, right? The inner workings of people, the inner workings of our children, right, are like deep water. But a man of understanding will draw it out. What am I saying? Dads, be men of understanding. Draw out that inner purpose, that deeper emotion that lies within the heart of your children. Listen. Not just listen. Empathize. Empathize. Remember back to when you were a child, right? For some of you, it's a little harder to do than others. I'm getting there. I'm with you. Right? Got to go back a while. At times of fear. At times of doubt. Times of discouragement that you experience. Loneliness. Identify with your children. Feel with your children. And then direct them. Thank you, James, for praying this verse. Then direct them to the Father of mercies, the God of all comforts, the one who comforted you. Remember when you were a kid? That God, that loving Heavenly Father who comforted you so that now as a dad you can comfort your own children with the comfort that you experienced with God. So, we comfort by empathizing. And third, we give comfort through the words we speak. Tell your kids how much you love them. Tell your grandkids how much you love them. Remind them. Tell them consistently how proud of them that you are. Speak words of comfort to them. But sometimes actions speak louder than words, don't they? And I thought of the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son. You can't get really much lower than eating pig scraps. Then the prodigal son finally comes to his senses and determines to go back to his father. The father sees him at a distance. The father feels compassion. The father runs to his son and embraces him, Scripture says, and kisses him. Dads, for some of us, this doesn't come naturally, right? That physical affection, the hugging, the kissing, the I love you come a little more difficult, but our kids need it. Our kids need our affection. They need our physical affection, especially our daughters. You love them, don't you? I know you do. I know how deeply you love them. Then tell them. Let's tell them. Let's show them. Lastly, we comfort through prayer. Encourage you to pray for your kids. Pray Scripture over your kids. I thought of a couple of Scriptures that connect to comfort. Romans 5. Father, help her to rejoice in her sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. God, produce these things in my daughter. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Father, help him to trust in you with all of his heart and not to lean on his own understanding. In all his ways may he acknowledge you. And Father, I know you will make his paths straight. Right? Pray for your children. Pray Scripture over your children. Then tell them. Tell them that you're praying for them. Tell them how you're praying for them. That's how we offer comfort to our children. And finally, dads, we say thank you for counseling. Thanks for counseling. In June 1992, Jim Davidson and Mike Price climbed Mount Rainier. They were coming back down from the summit and they fell 80 feet through an ice bridge, snow bridge, into a crevasse, pitch black, ice-walled crack in the glacier. Tragically, Mike died on impact. But Jim courageously made his way out, climbed his way out of that crevasse, and he attributed his survival to his dad. Jim tells his story in the book, The Ledge. He kind of tells his own story. He tells his moments on the ledge and then the moments that led up to that through his life. From the age of 12, he worked with his dad painting houses, painting high electrical towers. The mom didn't like it. She was terrified of the work. Jim's father communicated his belief that Jim could do great things. And there he stood, bloodied, bruised on that 2-foot-wide ledge, and he could hear the voice of his father. In his own words, "The entire time I climbed, the words of my father kept coming back to my mind." That father's inspiration flooded his heart and his soul, washed over him with encouragement. 5 grueling hours he spent climbing out of that crevasse, battling fatigue, but all the while remembering the words of his father. Words like this: "When you go after it, do it like you mean it." In his book, Jim reflects on the ordeal. He writes this: "Grappling with adversity has led me to tap wells of fortitude that usually lie hidden and unused." Right? What am I saying here? Dads, your words can inspire your children. Dads, your words can encourage your children, can set the course of your children's lives. Verse 11 of our text again. We're going to read all the way through the end of the passage. "For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you." And here's our final one. "And charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into His own kingdom and glory." The word "charge" literally means to summon as a witness. Carries the idea of bearing testimony. Bearing testimony from your own journey in life, your own spiritual journey. You ever heard something to the effect of this? "Back in my day," my kids never liked that first phrase. "Back in my day, we walked over an hour to school in the freezing snow, uphill both ways and barefoot." Right? You probably heard that said before. It's like, here we go again. "Back in my day." Okay, Dad. Okay. There's a place for that though, isn't there? Sharing stories, real stories. Sharing stories from back in the day. Right? How you personally persevered through a trial. How you overcame a dominating sin in your life. How you gained assurance one time when you were doubting your salvation. Our children need to hear those stories. They're not really our stories, are they? They're testimony of God's grace, of God's power in our lives. We need to share those personal testimonies with our children. "Back in my day" is okay, Dads. We can use that in a good and a right way. What does it mean to walk in a manner worthy of God? Well, a father wants to be proud of his children. God the Father wants to get glory through your life, through the lives of His children. Walking. We've talked about this, I think, in 1 John. A great metaphor here. Journey begins a step of faith, right? The first step. Your child trusts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's only the beginning of the journey. Every child, right, physically, thinking about it that way, every child needs to learn how to walk. Every spiritual child also needs to learn how to walk. And dads, we have an important role to play. Our children are meant to advance. They take that first step of faith. Then they make steady spiritual progress in their lives. And we play a huge role in that. Paul gave a similar charge to the one he gives here. Everywhere he went, it's interesting. I'm going to summarize them real quickly. 3 different churches, this one and 3 others. Believers at Ephesus, he said, chapter 4, "I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." Walk worthy, Paul says. To the believers at Philippi, he said, "Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." Believers at Colossae, he said, "Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him." So this is like an anthem of Paul in challenging and charging the churches. That word "worthy" comes from a root that means to be of equal weight. To be of equal weight. The God who gave His one and only Son for you deserves it all, right? He deserves everything. He deserves everything you are. He deserves everything that you have. He deserves a worthy work, walk to His glory. The verb calls here, present tense. God is continually calling you to walk in a manner worthy of Him. You go on down to the end of that passage. He calls you into His own kingdom and glory. Right? We're citizens of the kingdom of heaven already, right now, as we walk through this journey of life. We are citizens of heaven, but yet there's this glorious kingdom ahead, a glorious kingdom that's awaiting us. That's the day when Jesus returns. He comes back and He establishes His kingdom, and one day we share in His glory for all eternity. Listen, the manner of my walk, the manner of your walk should be in keeping with our destiny, right? Our destiny, the glorious kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was looking at those three different churches Paul gave the charge to and the context that he gave. Walk worthy. And he gives some examples to each one of those churches. I'm going to summarize them because of time. He urges the Ephesians, walk worthy. Then he emphasizes these things. Humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. That's what it means to walk worthy under inspiration, as he wrote to the Ephesians. To the Philippians, he highlights this, standing firm in the truth, striving side by side for the gospel and enduring suffering for the sake of the gospel. The church at Colossae, walking worthy means this, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in knowledge of God, experiencing His power in your life and giving thanks to Him. Just some specific examples. I encourage you when you go home, read through those different worthy, walking worthy passages. That's the manner of life God has called us to. That's the manner of life that He is worthy of. That's the manner of life our children are called to and should live in a worthy way for the glory of His name. I'm going to wrap things up here with Ephesians 6 and verse 4. A specific charge, another charge that Paul gives that will give us direction. How do we do this? How do we go about doing this day to day? Paul writes this to the church at Ephesus. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The negative side is a little tough. It cuts deep. It cut me deep. Right? Don't provoke your kids. Right? Don't exasperate, NIV, don't exasperate your children. Avoid a pattern of insensitivity that creates resentment in the hearts of your children. How do dads do this? Here's a long list. I bet a couple of them will hit home as they did for me. Not tearing you down, dads. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to build you up. Build us up. Here they are. Provoking. Exasperating. Here are the words. Criticism. Right? Constant criticism. Irritability. Demeaning our kids. Using sarcasm. Over strictness. Overprotection, neglect, favoritism, pressure to achieve, inconsistency in discipline, right? These things don't inspire our children. These things discourage them. Our kids need our affirmation. And so dads, let's inspire them. Let's inspire them to be everything that God desires that they should be. And the home, our homes, Dad, should be the place where the gospel is most clearly displayed for them. Paul gives a positive command. Bring your children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, right? A father who loves his kids disciplines his kids. That's what our Heavenly Father does, right? Hebrews says this of our Heavenly Father, He disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. Right? Develop close, meaningful relationships with your kids. It's okay if they're your friends, but you're their dad too, right? Don't be permissive of wrong behavior. Don't overlook. Don't have an indifferent attitude toward their wrong behavior. Discipline them. On the flip side of that, father's authority doesn't give him the right to express in wrong ways frustration, to express in wrong ways anger with children. An undisciplined father has no business disciplining his children. Consistent, loving discipline directed at the heart prepares your child so they might receive instruction. And that's the second part there. Instruction means to place before the mind, right? We've got to teach our children. Can't just live it. We've got to teach them day to day. I know you dads are teaching manners and work ethic and patriotism and life skill. All those things are great. We should do that as dads. But there is nothing more important than teaching our children the truths of God's Word. Why? Because God's Word is sufficient. God's Word is all that is necessary for life and godliness for us and for our children. Nowhere in Scripture are we told to delegate discipleship. We don't delegate it to the government. We don't delegate it to schools. We don't even delegate it to the church, right? These institutions partner with us parents. But we have the responsibility as primary disciple makers, as spiritual leaders in our homes. We are responsible for discipleship. So I encourage you to teach the truth. You got to know the truth. So get to know the truth of God's Word. Read it. Study it. Hide it in your heart. Meditate on it day and night. Get into an ABF. Attend the Grow class. Be under the teaching of God's Word as consistently as possible. Then you'll know it, and only then can you pass it along to your children. So in conclusion this morning, thanks for bearing with me, dads. The influence of a father is profound, and we do say thank you. We acknowledge you, we honor you, we salute you today. Thanks for contributing. That you work hard. You work hard for your family. Thanks for confirming. You live out the gospel before your family. Thanks for connecting. Dad, you're always there. We thank you. Thanks for comforting, for listening and praying, and for counseling, fathers. You discipline and you teach. Some of you felt the burn real bad in that sermon, as I did when I prepared it. Listen, there's no perfect dad. There's not a single perfect dad. This preacher is not perfect. Far, far from it. And there's not a perfect dad in this auditorium. Just our Heavenly Father, right? He is the perfect, a good Father to us. And He gives grace, right? He gives grace where we fail. He gives hope for the future. There's always hope to press on and be the man that God has called you to be. So I encourage you, as the music plays in a moment, if you want to come forward and just kind of recommit yourself to being a dad, to fatherhood, take the time to do that. It just takes one or two to come forward. You've seen this happen. And God moves in a bunch of hearts just to make that solid, firm commitment publicly that you want to be the man of God God has called you to be. So the last phrase there, if you're taking notes this morning, may your resolve be that of Joshua, who said this: as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right? No better commitment than that today. As for me and for my house, my wife and my children, we're going to serve the Lord. Father, thank you for the good gift of fatherhood. You are a good father yourself, God. You are perfect. God, you are an amazing father to us. You know us. You care for us. God, you love us so much. We thank you. God, help us to live out the gospel in our homes. Help us to reflect your fatherhood to our own children. God, we fail so much. We're sinners saved by grace. We fall so short of your perfect example of fatherhood. God, help us to confess that today. Help us to forsake that. Help us to recommit ourselves to being the men you want us to be. God, I pray that you would get the glory in this invitation. Work in hearts. Father, please don't let any dad leave here discouraged, but encouraged today. Thank you for grace. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone, please stand for a closing song of commitment. And however the Lord is working and moving in your heart, please, you don't have to make a public commitment to make a commitment. So I encourage you, as the Holy Spirit works in you, you respond.